Blog Talk Radio.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole.
All right, here we are, back. Today feels like a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? I can barely tell. Nevertheless, it is September 6th, 2011. Beautiful Washington, D.C. United States of America, planet Earth. Third planet from the sun. It is indeed Tuesday, and you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Hey, I've got some interesting news. And that news is that there is a plot afoot to deny Barack Obama the nomination for 2012. And it's not coming from Republicans, it's coming from the Democrats. An article written in the American Thinker, dated September 6th, by Keith Edwards, states that, as you know, the Republicans are allowed equal time on the networks after any formal address by the president. And if Obama has the audacity to denigrate the time-honored tradition of presidential addresses to Congress and opening night of the NFL season with a taxpayer-funded campaign speech, then by all means, in their response, Republicans should be more than willing to accommodate the president's decision to campaign instead of government, instead of govern. The Republican response is a golden opportunity to expose Obama's failed attempt at leadership to the American people. And because of the seriousness and gravity of America's economic situation, whoever responds for the Republicans shouldn't mince words or beat around the bush. They should look directly into the eyes of the American people and tell it like it is. In the spirit of the occasion, maybe the Republican response should be something like this. Cue a Monday Night Football intro music. President Obama begged for a chance to lead America and promised he had what it took to turn around an ailing economy. He boldly told America, "We are the ones we've been waiting for." But as it turns out, political rhetoric and media hype weren't much help when it came time to actually suit up and perform. Every play the president runs turns into a disaster, and every audible he calls seem to backfire. All the while, America keeps falling further and further behind on the economic scoreboard. But rather than taking responsibility for his performance or adjusting his game plan, the president just continues doing the same things and blaming everyone and everything for his failure to lead. Well, it's late in the fourth quarter, folks. And America is way behind on the scoreboard. And tonight, the president told America his new game plan is to double down on the old game plan. Well, sorry, Mr. President. None of the same, more of the same, it just won't cut it. Now, for an America that hates to lose, and not just for an America that expects nothing less than positive results from their leadership, you had your shot. And quite frankly, Mr. President, you blew it big time. So get on board with a proven conservative game plan, one that could possibly save your presidency, or continue with your failed game plan until America can elect a true leader, a team player, one who can put some points on the board and turn this game around. Next time you may want to try the European League, Mr. President. Their game is more suited to your style of play. See, I dug that. I really did. Now, let's go ahead and play my man T-Mod talking about unemployment. Americans are dumb. And Obama knows it. Check out my man T-Mod.
Unemployment. Americans are dumb. Obama knows it. I'm doing this video, and it may seem to some that I'm beating a dead horse. Those that have kept up with what I have said over the last year and a half about jobs going overseas, about the Democrats and the Republicans both screw us. Today I was watching Fox and I heard an interview with Donald Trump, whom I am no fan of. He was a distraction. Trumpets at play. But he said something that I have been saying for almost the last 2 years. He mentioned that the jobs are overseas. Here is where Obama knows that Americans are dumb as hell. It's called misdirection, and it's working. They've got all of you knuckleheads thinking that by cutting the tax rate for corporations, the Republicans do, that that's going to fix our problem. The Democrats have you thinking that by raising the tax rates on the rich and what they call the rich, you know, anybody making over $250,000 a year, raise the tax rate on them, and that's going to fix the problem and stimulate the economy. It's not. And they know y'all don't know it because you ain't paying attention. They know that you are dumb as hell. Let me tell you why it won't work. Donald Trump mentioned that if you called American Express, you're subject to get somebody over in India doing the customer service call. That's where corporations are sending the jobs. They are driven by the bottom line for the shareholders. Small businesses on the other side of the spectrum are driven by their profit for their individual businesses. Therefore, they will hire illegal immigrants to do the work that they say none of us won't do. Of course you won't go out and work for $3 or $4 an hour with absolutely no benefits, days off, et cetera, et cetera. You can do better than that on, guess what? Unemployment. Now I think there's some folks that have been on it now for going over 2 years. So my point is they have all this misdirection going, thinking that it's because of tax rate this, tax rate that, when the bottom line is you can't fix an unemployment problem when the jobs are there. They're just with the wrong folks. The jobs are either overseas or illegal immigrants are here working them. And why? Because it increases the dollar, the bottom line for the companies on the top, the large corporations, and the companies at the bottom, the small businesses and some medium-sized businesses. If the companies on the top are going to continue to send jobs overseas, tax the hell out of the corporations. Reduce their bottom line. Give them tax breaks when they give those jobs to Americans. That's what America used to be about. Small businesses that hire illegal immigrants, start seizing their businesses, shutting them down, giving them some jail time. And you will see that that will change. When you bring the jobs back to America, people have work to go and do. They have money then to go and spend. And that is how you do that. This is how you fix the problem. Folks, it is not that complicated. It's a real simple situation that has a very simple solution. But you have been misdirected, and this country is going to hell in a handcart. And if you think that folk aren't making it, man, let me just throw this at you. I just left the restaurant getting me some blackened catfish and some lemon pepper wings to go along with that. This little company, Asian Ran, they are thriving in the black community. All of the Dairy Queens are ran by the Indians. All of the Chevrons and Shells, the Indians. These folks making money. The Asians, black folks, going to keep them in business with the weave industry. They are making money. There is money here to be made, folks, in America. Ain't nobody stopped nothing. The gas prices. I still put gas in my truck and go to work. So my point is, the money is here. It's just that the jobs are elsewhere in an effort to increase the bottom line for the smaller businesses and for the corporations. I'm telling you, folks, misdirection has got y'all messed up. Y'all are dumb as hell because you aren't bringing it to them and telling them, hey, man, what about this? Hell no, we don't want no more tax breaks for the corporations. I'm making a distinction between corporations and the rich. So I want to make sure I keep that on point. I ain't got nothing against rich folks, all right? But I have a problem with those that are sending the jobs overseas. And somebody said to me,
where somebody's got to pay that expense. If they pay more money over here in America, then, you know, that cost is going to be passed on to the consumers here. That ain't got a damn thing to do with what I'm talking about. Another person commented that, well, a person ought to be able to hire who they want to. But you can't screw the pooch, too. Yeah, you ought to be able to hire who you want, but then don't turn around looking for corporate handouts in the way of tax breaks. What part of that don't y'all understand? Well, I said all I need to say. Read it and weep, do it what you want to. That's where the problems lie, folk. Our jobs are here in America. They're occupied by illegal immigrants. Our jobs are overseas. You can find one of them every time you call a customer service of a large corporation. That is what is happening. That is where the jobs have gone. So this crap about creating more jobs as a smoke screen. You can't create what the hell is already filled. Team out.
T-Mont out. Hey, you know what? I got a chance to meet T-Mont just today. If you haven't heard T-Mont, take a listen into his YouTube. He's a YouTube sensation, and he's telling it like it is. And it's not just about Democrats. Oh, he's equal. He's an equal opportunity guy with the Republicans as well, independents, Tea Party members, the whole deal. He is the real deal. I got a chance to meet him. I'm here in Georgia right now, and I'm thinking of getting myself a. Don't laugh now. I'm thinking of getting myself some chickens. And some roosters, well, some chickens, and I priced a nice chicken coop, and you would be surprised at the cost of a decent chicken coop. I mean, like the little red brick schoolhouse style chicken coop, that thing is priced around $400. Can you believe it? For a chicken coop. Now the chickens. It turns out the chickens are the cheapest part of this whole deal. You can get the chickens, like, for a couple of bucks each, the chicks. And there are some folks around here in Georgia giving away roosters for free. Now, I might have a problem with a rooster. I'm looking into trying to get a rooster that doesn't crow. I don't even think there is such a thing. But I can't have a rooster crowing. You know, I just can't have it. But if I want to make, you know, some more chickens, I got to have a rooster. So that's my sticking point right now. So I think a lot of some of the show got lost in the audio issue. So we're going to start over again, and I'm going to go ahead and do a and recite, no, not chitlins, not chitlins. Of course, I'd love to have some chitlins, but I can't get any. I tell you what, man, I love chitlins. I like them fried too. But hey, well, that's another topic for another time. Football season is coming up, just a couple of days away, and the American Thinker has an article out by Keith Edwards equating football and politics. And it's titled Football and Politics, Obama's Failure as a Head Coach. And here goes. It starts off as you know, the Republicans are allowed equal time on the networks after any formal address by the president. And if Obama has the audacity to denigrate the time-honored traditions of presidential addresses to Congress and opening night of the NFL season with a taxpayer-funded campaign speech, then by all means, in their response, Republicans should be more than willing to accommodate the president's decision to campaign instead of govern. The Republican response is a golden opportunity to expose Obama's failed attempt at leadership to the American people. And because of the seriousness and gravity of America's economic situation, whoever responds for the Republicans shouldn't mince words or beat around the bush. They should look directly into the eyes of the American people and tell it like it is. In the spirit of the occasion, maybe the Republicans should be something like this. First, cue the Monday Night Football intro music. Dun, 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 dun. Bum, 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 bum. Got it. President, and then starts. President Obama begged for a chance to lead America and promised he had what it took to turn around an ailing economy. He boldly told America, "We are the ones we've been waiting for." But as it turns out, political rhetoric and media hype weren't much help when it came time to actually suit up and perform. Every play the president runs turns into a disaster, and every audible he calls seems to backfire. All the while, America keeps falling further and further and further behind on the economic scoreboard. But rather than taking responsibility for his performance or adjusting his game plan, the president just continues doing the same thing and blaming everyone and everything for his failure to lead. Well, it's late in the fourth quarter, and America is way behind on the scoreboard. And tonight, the president told America his new game plan is to double down on the old game plan. Sorry, Mr. President. More of the same just doesn't cut it. Not for an America that hates to lose, and not for an America that expects nothing less than positive results from their leadership. Mr. President, you had your shot, and quite frankly, you blew it big time. So get on board with a proven conservative game plan that could possibly save your presidency and America, or continue with your failed game plan until America can elect a true leader and team player who can put some points on the board and turn this game around. Next time, you may want to try the European League, Mr. President. Their game is more suited to your style of play. I thought that was pretty clever. Pretty clever indeed. Taken from an article in the American Thinker, written by Mr. Keith Edwards. Also in the American Thinker today, I came across a really cool article that suggests that liberals are attempting to overthrow the president. No, I don't mean that way. I mean, a situation exists where the Democrats are attempting to find a way to deny the president of the United States the nomination in 2012. Is that amazing or what? It's all over the news. And we're going to talk about it in just a minute. We'll be right back. We're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Barack Obama promised us a better economy, but he gave us bigger government, higher taxes, and skyrocketing debt. 2.5 million jobs lost, largest deficit in history, $14.3 trillion national debt. The picture is clear.
Nobody's looking to raise taxes right now. We're talking about potentially 2013.
We can't afford four more years of Barack Obama. Help America change direction. The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Good morning, January 20th, 2017, the last day of Barack Obama's 8 years as president.
8 tough years for many as unemployment continues climbing.
With debt to China reaching record levels, some analysts believe the Chinese have overtaken the United States.
8 years ago, we were promised hope. Today, many believe their American dream has been lost.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I remember America. Sure, you can still find it on a map, but nobody older than 20 thinks this is America. Even if coordinates are the same, we've lost our compass. You don't have a direction without reference, the true north. For America, it was liberty. When we lost the love of liberty, our understanding of liberty, it was just a matter of time before the rest of it was lost. Some think it started when the auto companies were nationalized, or the police state to control the internet, or when certain companies couldn't fail because their relationship with politicians made them too big to fail, and the rest of us, without political influence, were too small to succeed. Sure, that all happened pretty quickly, over just a couple of years, but liberty had been gradually devolving for decades. Some of the more astute, like Ayn Rand, saw it about 50 years before others. She warned us, but people didn't believe it could happen here until it did. Laws had been used to loot productive individuals and businesses, but in the new millennium, under Bush and Obama, graft, corruption, and crony capitalism were no longer hidden behind closed doors. The looters and their laws came out of hiding like rabid animals that were no longer afraid of humans. It was brought into the spotlight, and it was celebrated as enlightened economic policy. Ayn Rand asked the question, and Atlas shrugged, that the rest of us were asking 60 years later, which failing financial institution will the administration pluck from the flames of crisis? Which will it let roast? Which market or investment technique will the regulators bless? And which, in a capricious change of rules, will it condemn or outlaw? As John Galt said in his radio address,
"You decided you had a right to your wages, but we had no right to our profits. You called it selfish and cruel that men should trade value for value. But you've now established an unselfish society where they trade extortion for extortion."
People who had never produced or managed anything tried to manage every aspect of our lives, and they brought production to a standstill. And eventually, they decided to micromanage the food supply in the name of fairness and safety. And we all know what happened then. Fiction can be a powerful influence, for good or bad. It's too bad more people didn't read Atlas Shrugged. They might have realized where this was heading.
And we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Have you heard about this latest drama Obama happening? I'm going to talk about it right now. I'd like to know if you've heard about it at all. There's a plot afoot, not by Tea Party members, no. Not by Republicans, not by business leaders, not by the Chamber of Commerce, but by Democrats, to deny President Obama the nomination for the presidency of 2012. As Democrats awaken to the fact that President Obama is taking their party down the path to oblivion. Oh, once again, I'd like to point out that this is an article that I am reading from the American Thinker, published today. As Democrats awaken to the fact that President Obama is taking their party down the path to oblivion, stalwart liberals such as Maureen Dowd are thinking one term. Some leftists even are openly plotting how to deny the president for renomination. Writing in Salon.com, lefty Matt Stoller lays out a plan. It goes something like this. If a few of the key constituencies, groups in the Democrat Party publicly wondered whether Obama should run for re-election, rumblings would start. Some organized constituency groups, say some opponents of the AFL-CIO, would need to announce that their support is up for grabs. Based on a clear set of criteria, given the Obama administration's rampant anti-labor policies, how is that possible that the Obama administration has anti-labor policies? But the plan goes as, giving the Obama administration's rampant anti-labor policies, this wouldn't be an unreasonable posture. And then a senior politician like, say, Tom Harkin would need to decide that he would want to encourage a robust inter-party debate about the party's future. Harkin could run as a favorite son of Iowa and encourage people in the caucuses to send a message to the party and to Obama by choosing him. Other candidates could then emerge in early primary and caucus states as a way to repudiate Obama's leadership. Candidates would have to pretend to be running for president or be presidential quality. They could simply stand in as favorite sons or daughters of their own geographic areas. This would immediately fire up a highly aggressive and needed debate about the direction of the Democrat Party and the country at large. It would build a new set of leaders and elevate others who would like to distance themselves from the Obama policy agenda. In a few months, we'll know better if Obama still looks like a loser next year. If he does, that does not mean the Democrat Party must follow him down the path to oblivion. These folks are running scared. They are running scared. They are attacking and attacking with words. Organized labor pretty much sees the writing on the wall. They're almost done. They're almost done. And did anybody see watch Fox News this morning? The Fox and Friends this morning, where Debbie Wasserman Schultz got into a heated debate with Gretchen Carlson. Gretchen asked Debbie, Congressman Wasserman, if she would condemn Jimmy Hoffa calling a small segment of Americans sons of bitches. She sidestepped. She danced. She may as well have been on Dancing with the Stars. She refused to condemn that sort of language. Why? How hard could it be? The Tea Party members are members of unions. They're working people. They have jobs. For the most part, Tea Party members are just average Americans who believe that they've been taxed too much, and we believe in lesser government. And Hoffa and the AFL-CIO, the Vice President of the United States, is calling on us to be attacked in some way. I'm sure that they do not mean that we should be attacked physically, even though using verbiage like "take out those sons of bitches" sounds ominous to me. But how could this language come from Jimmy Hoffa's son? As far as I know, Jimmy's still missing. Isn't he?
Nobody, his body hasn't turned up. Somebody took out Jimmy Hoffa. He didn't just skip town. One would think that the son of Jimmy Hoffa would be just a little bit more sensitive to that kind of language. But apparently not. We need to take out those sons of bitches. Take them out. What does he mean by that? And why did not the President of the United States approach the podium immediately after Hoffa fired up the crowd with this awful rhetoric and say, hey, we don't need that kind of talk. I understand you're fired up and ready to go. You're fired up and ready to go. I understand that, but we're all Americans here. And this kind of talk is inappropriate, divisive, vitriolic. You know, I consider myself to be a smart man, relatively speaking. I never knew the word vitriol until this president came into the White House. All of a sudden, I'm learning all kinds of new words. But this guy is supposed to be above all this. Some writer said that Obama is above America. He's above the world. He's like God. So if Obama's so far above it all, and George Clooney, God bless his stupid heart, because he's got to be one dumb guy. You know, and I'm such a George Clooney fan. And George Clooney says that Obama's probably the smartest person anybody's ever met. He's so compassionate. He's such a genius. He's so smart. Are you kidding me? Where do these guys come from? He's smart? Really? The guy reads from a teleprompter in front of six people. You'd think if Obama was such a smart guy, first, he'd be able to memorize a decent speech. Or at least speak off the cuff. Remember how good Kennedy was at that? And Bill Clinton? And President Reagan? Remember how good they were at just standing in front of the podium and talking? Without the aid of notes or a teleprompter? This guy's such a genius. Why is he using that damn teleprompter? For a crowd of, you know, less than 10. I'd like George Clooney to answer that. Except George Clooney's job is to read lines on a piece of paper and say them convincingly. And if Obama's such a smart guy, why not condemn the kind of language that Jimmy Hoffa put out there and Joe Biden? Now, I don't think the barbarians at the gate deal is such a big deal. I mean, he was using the barbarians at the gate line metaphorically. And some on the right are saying that he's called the Tea Party a group of barbarians. I don't believe he was doing that. I believe he just used it as a metaphor, and I'll just let that go. But Hoffa? Should he not be mindful that his own daddy, so drunk with power after getting out of prison, wanted to be leader of the Teamsters once again, but the mob said no? Jimmy would not take no for an answer, so they knocked him off. He's probably wearing a cement overcoat in the Hudson right now. Or in a 55-gallon drum in a whole bunch of pieces. So Jimmy Hoffa's fat, short, goofy-looking son should not be using words like take those sons of bitches out. Debbie Wasserman Schultz should have simply come out today on Fox and Friends and said, hey, I don't hold with that kind of talk. I understand they're in a heat of passion, that they they're fired up. That kind of talk is uncalled for. How hard could it be? But not one Democrat has come out and stated that this kind of talk is inappropriate. When they were the ones calling for civility, when that lunatic fired off all those rounds, killed people, nearly mortally wounded Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, then it was all about vitriol, vitriol, vitriol. I keep hearing this new word that I've been on the planet for 49 years, and I never knew this word existed, vitriol. So now where's the outcry for this vitriol? It's nowhere. And Obama, is anybody concerned that Obama is questioning the patriotism of Republicans? How do you do that? How do you question the patriotism of a conservative? It's like questioning the patriotism of the Tea Party movement. So the deal is, if you don't go along with Obama, if you don't go along with his program, then you're not really an American. You're not patriotic. If you don't go along with Obama's plan, then you're not a real American. You're unpatriotic. You don't care about your country. It's absurd. It's absurd and it's tragic. And when the White House refuses to condemn Hoffa and calls it kabuki theater, okay, are these people crazy or what? Because the Fox Nation has a flashback of Obama denouncing vitriol, calls for civility. But he stepped up to the podium right after that little dwarf, Jimmy Hoffa, finished his statement and just went on with his speech. It was all good. So on Thursday, just before game time, and nobody in the whole world will be watching, certainly no real man will be watching Obama's speech unless he's a political pundit. We'll all be setting up for game time, getting our fantasy teams in line, snacks ready, situating our lazy boys or Barco loungers just right, putting the kids to bed, servicing the wife, the girlfriend, so she's out of the way, and setting up for football. We won't have time to listen to that clown read from a teleprompter to tell us what he's told us 17 times before. The word is from the AP that Obama's going to propose a $300 billion jobs bill. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen because we've already tried the stimulus route and it hasn't. What, last month, I think we created, let me count. I think we created, we created no jobs. Not one single job in the month of August. Not one. Not one job. How is that possible? We spent all this stimulus money. We were supposed to have, Obama said that we have saved or created 2 million jobs. But that stimulus, Jack, couldn't get us one job for the month of August? Not one? Not a single job? So Thursday, rumor has it that Obama is going to propose a $300 billion jobs bill. And you know what? Republicans are going to say no, no, and no. And then Obama's going to say, well, I proposed all this spending to create jobs, and Republicans said no. They're the villains. They're unpatriotic. They're un-American. Are you kidding? Are we in silly season or what? We're going to take one more break, and then we'll be right back. Because I got to play my man Tremont one more time, because some of you guys missed it. Tremont, Georgia, Atlanta, here it comes. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Howdy do, people. Tremont back again for another drive time. Unemployment. Americans are dumb. Obama knows it. I'm doing this video, and it may seem to some that I'm beating a dead horse. Those that have kept up with what I have said over the last year and a half about jobs going overseas, about the Democrats and the Republicans both screw us. Today I was watching Fox, and I heard an interview with Donald Trump, whom I am no fan of. He was a distraction. The trumpets got played. But he said something that I have been saying for almost the last 2 years. He mentioned that the jobs are overseas. Here is where Obama knows that Americans are dumb as hell. It's called misdirection, and it's working. They've got all of you knuckleheads thinking that by cutting the tax rate for corporations, the Republicans do, that that's going to fix our problem. The Democrats have you thinking that by raising the tax rates on the rich and what they call the rich, you know, anybody making over $250,000 a year, raise the tax rate on them, and that's going to fix the problem and stimulate the economy. It's not. And they know y'all don't know it because you ain't paying attention. They know that you are dumb as hell. Let me tell you why it won't work. Donald Trump mentioned that if you called American Express, you're subject to get somebody over in India doing the customer service call. That's where corporations are sending the jobs. They are driven by the bottom line for the shareholders. Small businesses on the other side of the spectrum are driven by their profit for their individual businesses. Therefore, they will hire illegal immigrants to do the work that they say none of us won't do. Of course you won't go out and work for $3 or $4 an hour with absolutely no benefits, days off, etc., etc. You can do better than that on, guess what, unemployment. Now I think there's some folks that have been on it now for going over 2 years. So my point is they have all this misdirection going, thinking that it's because of tax rate this, tax rate that, when the bottom line is you can't fix an unemployment problem when the jobs are there. They're just with the wrong folks. The jobs are either overseas or illegal immigrants are here working them. And why? Because it increases the dollar, the bottom line for the companies on the top, the large corporations, and the companies at the bottom, the small businesses and some medium-sized businesses. If the companies on the top are going to continue to send jobs overseas, tax the hell out of the corporations. Reduce their bottom line. Give them tax breaks when they give those jobs to Americans. That's what America used to be about. Small businesses that hire illegal immigrants start seizing their businesses, shutting them down, giving them some jail time. And you will see that that will change. When you bring the jobs back to America, people have work to go and do. They have money then to go
and spend. And that is how you do that. This is how you fix the problem. Folks, it is not that complicated. It's a real simple situation that has a very simple solution. But you have been misdirected, and this country is going to hell in a handcart. And if you think that folk aren't making it, man, let me just throw this at you. I just left the restaurant, getting me some blackened catfish and some lemon pepper wings to go along with that. This little company, Asian Ran, they are thriving in the black community. All of the Dairy Queens ran by the Indians. All of the Chevrons and Shells, the Indians. These folks making money. The Asians, black folks, going to keep them in business with the weave industry. They are making money. There's money here to be made, folks, in America. Ain't nobody stopped nothing. The gas prices. I still put gas in my truck and go to work. So my point is, the money is here. It's just that the jobs are elsewhere in an effort to increase the bottom line for the smaller businesses and for the corporations. I'm telling you, folks, misdirection has got y'all messed up. Y'all are dumb as hell because you aren't bringing it to them and telling them, hey, man, what about this? Hell no, we don't want no more tax breaks for the corporations. And say, I'm making a distinction between corporations and the rich. So I want to make sure I keep that on point. I ain't got nothing against rich folks, all right? But I have a problem with those that are sending the jobs overseas. And somebody said to me, well, somebody's got to pay that expense. If they pay more money over here in America, then, you know, that cost is going to be passed on to the consumers here. That ain't got a damn thing to do with what I'm talking about. Another person commented that, well, a person ought to be able to hire who they want to. But you can't screw the pooch, too. Yeah, you ought to be able to hire who you want, but then don't turn around looking for corporate handouts in the way of tax breaks. What part of that don't y'all understand? Well, I said all I need to say. Read it and weep, do it in what you want to. That's where the problems lie, folks. Our jobs are here in America. They're occupied by illegal immigrants. Our jobs are overseas. You can find one of them every time you call a customer service of a large corporation. That is what is happening. That is where the jobs have gone. So this crap about creating more jobs as a smoke screen. You can't create what the hell is already filled. T-Mod out.
T-Mod out. All right, I played that once again for some of the Blog Talk radio listeners who were without sound earlier. And I just, you know, it's always refreshing when you get a person who is passionate about their beliefs and they want to talk about it, and they're just so down home with it. You know, they're not speaking in highfalutin language and, you know, $5 words, you know, just plain old simple average American folks. And it doesn't hurt, not one bit, that T-Mod is a black man and he's telling it like it is, because as a lot of you know, I'm sure, black folks tend to be drinking the Kool-Aid, whether they agree with Obama's policies or not. A lot of black folks will refuse to say anything bad about the man. If he hauled off and slapped Michelle on national TV, black folks would love it. They wonder what went on, but they wouldn't condemn the man. They'll say he had a reason. He must have had a reason. That's how much they love this guy. So when you got a brother like T-Mod from Georgia whom I just met today, by the way, great guy, as funny in person as he is and as passionate in person as he is on YouTube, he's just that way in person. Great guy. I was so privileged to meet him. I told him I was going to be in town, and I asked if I could meet him, you know, take him out to lunch. Of course, he was hungry, so it was all good. Now, Barack Obama's ratings have sunk like a ship sinking. Down. Down and dirty. And the Washington Post has featured an article that the headline is Obama's ratings sink to new lows as hope fades. Didn't we see this coming? Every time the world, you know, government like Germany, Italy, and several others throughout the history of this world, there's a supposed savior. A savior. When was the last time a president, a potentate, a head of state was put on par, whose name was spoken in the same sentence with God, with Jesus? Hell, when was the last time in our country where a president was even compared to Lincoln or Washington or even FDR? Least of all, God. Remember the New York Times columnist who equated Obama with God, saying that Obama was above it all. He was above the United States. He's above the whole world. He's like God. Louis Farrakhan saying that when the Messiah speaks, we'll listen, referring to Barack Obama as the Messiah. Even Oprah Winfrey, he's the one, the chosen one. He's the one. And yet he follows that little dwarf, that little dumpy little dwarf, Jimmy Hoffa. After Hoffa states that he wants to take those sons of bitches out. Even after his own daddy got taken out. And Jimmy Hoffa's dad was a son of a bitch. So maybe we're looking at a window into some pent-up animosity that Hoffa has for his own daddy. Because I can tell you right here and now that if my dad disappeared and I suspected that the mob took him out, the last thing that I would be doing is going around using words like take the sons of bitches out. You mean like your daddy? Fat, dumpy little Jimmy Hoffa Jr.? You mean like they took out your daddy? Is that what you meant? Because it didn't sound like, you know, that clown Biden, when Biden said that we needed to stop the barbarians at the gate. That was metaphorical. It wasn't any big deal. Take the sons of bitches out. Not a single rebuke, you all. Not a single rebuke by the media or anyone else. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. Patriot Greg, New Southern Sense, Republican Marine, Pendleton Marine, my Marine from Camp Pendleton, all my guests, Log Talk King, Billy, Alexander Solo, Tesla. Have a great time. Thank you for joining me tonight. And don't forget, Sunday night, we have a show coming up commemorating 10 years of 9/11. Tesla, Stay Mad Radio.
see Robert Jones. Annie will be there. Southern Sense, you'll be there. Join us from 4 to 8 p.m. Yeah. It's going to be great. Hoorah. All right. Have a good night. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Got a lot to talk about. This week is going to be one hell of a week. Have a great night, folks. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Conversation like nothing more than argument. I'd fix this if I could. I'd change, you know I would. It's been a long time coming, a long time, babe. Hard to say that you misunderstood.